Father, you indeed are good. You're so, so good. And we just want to say thank you for your goodness toward your people, Lord God. And Father, even now as we prepare to go to your word, open up our hearts, our minds to receive your word on this day. Speak, God, like only you can. Holy Spirit, have your way. We need you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God has given me a word, Isaiah chapter 43, if you'd be so kind to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. We'll begin reading at verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 14. When you have it, say agape. All right, come on, let's get there, let's get there, let's get there. Isaiah 43, you have it, say agape. All right, hear ye the word of the Lord beginning at verse 14. It says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Thank you so much for standing for your kindness. Thank you so much. Help me out. We're trying to get used to that. Amen. We got to get used to that. Verse 14, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. The Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. And I really want to emphasize verses 18 and 19a. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. And from this passage of scripture, we want to use as a subject, you ain't seen nothing yet. You may be seated. You ain't seen nothing yet, 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 yet. The NBA All-Star Weekend is coming. It's fastly approaches this next weekend. And one of the highlights of NBA weekend, All-Star Weekend, is the Slam Dunk Contest. The Slam Dunk Contest. The Slam Dunk Contest goes back in years for many of us, remember. We remember Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins, how they would battle in the dunk contest. And the whole thing about the dunk contest is outdoing somebody, coming up with something that no one else has seen before. Amen. And Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins, they had some dunks that no one had seen before. No one has seen before. Somebody said, well, Michael Jordan did Dr. J's dunk from the free throw line. Yeah, but Dr. J didn't double pump it. Amen, amen, amen. And then along came Vince Carter. Vince Carter was doing dunks no one had ever seen before. Hanging his arm in the rim, doing backwards 360s. No one had seen anything like that before from Vince Carter. Then Blake Griffin came along, and Blake Griffin took it to a whole nother level. Blake Griffin brought out a Kia car and had a choir backing him up. Somebody had never seen anything before. No one had ever seen a choir accompany a dunk contestant. No one had ever seen that. But then last year, we had Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon, the two guys that we have on the screen, and they were doing dunks that no one had ever seen before. Zach LaVine flying through the air, taking the ball through his legs. No one had ever seen that before. Aaron Gordon did dunks jumping over the mascot. Now, this man is sitting in the air. Look at that. He's sitting in the air and bringing the ball from underneath him while he's in the air and then dunking the ball. And I believe Aaron got robbed last year. I'm just go ahead and put it out there. I believe he got robbed last year. But nonetheless, these guys with their creativity have done things that no one else has done before. But I've stopped by this morning to tell you that those same guys with all of the athletic ability that they have, with all of the creativity that they have, I want to talk to you about the one who gave them the athletic ability, the one who gave them the creativity, because at the end of the day, they're men just like you and me, and they are finite, meaning that they have limits. But the person I'm talking about, the God I'm talking about, he has no limits. Oh, he has no limits. There's a rap song out there called No Limits. Young people, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't get quiet on me. Don't get quiet on me. Usher said, no limits. But the God I serve, the God I serve has no limits. And God will do things where nobody else can do. Nobody else can do it. Everybody. You know, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth from nothing. From nothing. See, you and I, we've got to take something to make something. But God made something without nothing. Because our God has no limits. No limits. And I believe God wants the people of God to understand that he has no limits. No limits. And just when you think God has shown you something, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet. God had me, had this already ordained for this day, Charles. He had it ordained for this day. God to show you some things, but you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet, people of God. Listen, I want to share some things with you. We talk about if he did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now. Same God back then. Hey, not only will he do it, but he'll do it in a way you didn't even expect. Same God. But he may not always do it the exact same way, because he's a God of creativity. God of creativity. Let me say this first and foremost. Number one, God can do a new thing in our lives regardless of our external environment. I'll give you all these this morning, all these. God can do a new thing in our lives regardless of our external environment. External environment. Let's look at the text. It says in verse 14, it says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now let's just stop right there. See, when you belong to God, there are benefits that comes with belonging to God. Listen, when he's your Redeemer, in other words, when he is in charge of your life, when he is your master. See, those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ, we are the redeemed of the Lord. God has paid a price. Chaplain Harvey talked about that. God has already paid a price for you and I. He bought us off the slave market of sin. He redeemed us. He redeemed our lives from destruction. And because he's my redeemer, I've got benefits. But he says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. Now, this has literal as well as spiritual implications. Let me explain the text. See, Isaiah in this book is prophesying of what's going to happen to Judah, the children of Israel, the tribe of Judah, and those that are in Jerusalem. Isaiah is prophetically speaking that they will be taken captive into Babylon. And if you read the book of Daniel and other passages of scripture, you will discover that Judah indeed were taken captive in the Babylon. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. Now we see here, this actually took place. Isaiah prophesied years before, and now it has finally taken place. Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon has come and besieged Jerusalem and taken them captive. This was the first of three deportations where he came in and seized, laid hold of the children of Israel and took them captive. And Daniel and his friends were part of this group. Now I'm going to park right here and speak to the young people, because we're talking about when God wants to do a new thing, he's not concerned about your external environment. Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity in the Babylon, not because they had done anything wrong, young people. They were taken into captivity because their parents had sinned against God. And God was rendering judgment on them, but the children ended up having to pay for the sins of their parents. And Daniel and his friends were taken captive. Now remember, God said he was going to do a new thing. He was going to do a new thing. Now Daniel and his friends, in spite of, young people, hear me this morning, in spite of their external environment, God still favored them. Are y'all with me this morning? Daniel was promoted into the kingdom and never campaigned. Do y'all hear me this morning? Do you hear me this morning? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego endured a fiery furnace because God was doing a new thing and he did not care about their environment. Young people, I need you to hear me this morning. Your environment may not be the best. Your home situation may not be the best. But let me tell you something. When God wants to do a new thing in your life, that won't matter. That won't matter. And here's the key. Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's delicacies. In other words, Daniel refused to embrace the world's labels on himself. Young people, if you want to see God do a new thing in your life, you don't have to be like everybody else. I dare you to take a stand for Jesus. I dare you. You'll see God do a new thing in your life. God will bring you through fiery furnaces. God will deliver you in the lion's den. God wants to do great things in your life. And he doesn't care about your external environment. He don't care about your background. He don't care where you're from. He doesn't care if you're from the hood or not. He don't care. Doesn't care. When he wants to do a new thing in your life, he'll do it. I just wanted to park there for a minute. But look, Babylon, not only that, spiritually speaking, Babylon represents this world system in which we live. Y'all hear me? Babylon represents this world system in which we live. See, Babylon is all about man exalting himself in the place of God. Do y'all hear me this morning? Just go back to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. That's where we get this, the root word for Babylon. The Tower of Babel, these men decided to get together. We're going to build a tower, make a name for ourselves. So this was the attitude. And decided to make a tower, and God came in and scattered them. Changed the language. That's why we have all these different races of people. We have all these different languages. It goes back to Genesis 11. But I want you to understand what Babylon represents. Babylon represents man trying to elevate himself in the place of God. And I need to drop something on y'all right now, because we live in a day and we live in a time that it is being taught and it is being preached by so many people that you are God. Are y'all listening to me this morning? That's being taught around everywhere that you are God. And they're using a passage of scripture around Psalms 92 where it says you are God's, But y'all better read that because there's little G's in there. And if you really do your study, you'll understand that he's speaking that you are created in the image of God, but you are not God. You are not God. That is a big lie that the enemy is spreading to the people nowadays, that you are God. No, 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 no. Don't get that twisted. Don't get that twisted. But that's what Babylon represents. It's what Babylon represents. And spiritually speaking, this is the age and times in which we live. And listen, listen, if you really want to watch God do a new thing, you can't buy into this world system. Can't buy into this world system. Not only that, thank you, Lord. Here's the other piece of that. Although man wants to elevate himself in power and in position and all of these things, and we have government and we've got all of these things that are in place, let me tell you something. It's still God above everybody else. And listen, when God want to do something new in your life, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. No way. See, we gotta start thinking like the king thinks. We gotta set our mind on things above, not on things on this earth. Listen, when God wants to do a new thing in life, it doesn't matter who's in charge. It doesn't matter who your boss is. It doesn't matter who your coach is. It does not matter. When he wants to do a new thing, he doesn't care about your external environment. He'll just do it. Listen, listen, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in charge. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in charge. God used Nebuchadnezzar. He used Darius. He said, these are my servants. God was in charge of all that. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in charge. But if you read Daniel chapter 4, you'll find out that Nebuchadnezzar ended up losing his mind. Lost his mind. Just read it. Daniel chapter 4. You need to read that. Daniel chapter. Lost his mind. He thought he was God. Tried to elevate himself as God, and God showed him who was God. Have I got a witness? Listen, God is not concerned about your external circumstance. And listen, listen, I just want to come back to understanding this thing about God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, but there is one God. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's the only mediator between God and men. Why is he the mediator? Because he was 100% man and he was 100% God. He's the go-between. The only way that you and I can get back to a holy and just God is because that holy and just God had to become a man. And he became that man through Jesus Christ. And he bridged that gap so that we can go back to a holy God. That's it. There's no other way. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But by me. Now, he gave one illustration of an external environment. Doesn't matter when God wants to do a new thing. He did it in Babylon. He did it in Babylon. And Daniel and his friends, they experienced new things. And nobody ever seen somebody placed in the lion's den and walk out. No one had ever seen somebody go in a fiery furnace and come out. Not even smelling like smoke. It's a new thing. Something new. But then he goes on, he takes them back to Egypt. Takes them back to Egypt. Verse 16, it says, thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. In other words, their fire will snuff out. Now let's go back to Egypt. Here's another example of what God is talking about our external circumstance, environment. It don't matter when he wants to do a new thing. God's chosen people, Israel, were in slavery, in bondage, in Egypt. And God decided he wanted to show Pharaoh something. He's going to do a whole new thing, something you've never seen before. And God delivered Israel with a mighty hand. God sent plagues. God taught them about the Passover as far as the blood over the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over all the firstborn of Israel. God had his people secure in Goshen while all of these things are taking place in Egypt. And God led them out with a mighty hand. This is what I really love about it. When he led them out, y'all, can I tell y'all what happened? When he led them out of Egypt, he led them out with their stuff and the Egyptian stuff.
talking about a new thing. Talking about a new thing. Nobody's ever seen that before. God led his people out with their stuff as well as the Egyptian stuff. But then they got to the Red Sea. They got to the Red Sea, y'all. And you had Pharaoh's army behind them. And the Red Sea in front of them. And they had nowhere to go. But God wanted to do a new thing. And no one had ever seen this before. He says, Moses, lift up your staff. And the waters parted and dry land showed up in the middle of the Red Sea. You ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet. And listen, listen, God was displaying who he is. Who he is and how great he is in the life of his children. But can I bring it all the way home? Let me bring it all the way home. Listen, listen. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. You were in slavery. You were in bondage. Something held you captive. But God showed up in your life with a mighty hand. And God delivered you, set you free, did a new thing in your life. In your life, in your life. He doesn't care about your external environment. Many of us come from bad backgrounds. Many of us come from places we're not proud of today. But God saw where we were at, showed up, and liberated us, and set our captive souls free. Because he don't care about your environment when he wants to do a new thing. Have I got a witness? Secondly, number two, we should have an eager expectation for God to do something new. We ought to have an eager expectation for God to do something new. Y'all leave the image up there. Just leave that up there for a minute. I'm going to talk about that. Eager expectation. Here it is, verse 18. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now, God had just reminded them about what he did in Egypt. He just reminded them that in the previous verses. He just reminded them of what he had done in Egypt. Now he's saying, don't even remember that. Now he said, don't remember the former things or the things of old. Behold, I want to do a new thing. And I'm scratching my head. I'm like, now, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. How is it that you remind your people of what you've done, and now you're telling them, don't worry about that no more. I want to do something new. You know what God showed me in that? He's not saying forget it. What he is saying is, don't let it hold you back for what I have in front of you. Ooh-wee. Come on, y'all. Come with me this morning. Look. He reminded them of their past. He said, now look, what I did to Pharaoh and what I did to his army and what I did to those Egyptians, that was powerful. Have I got a witness? That was powerful. Nobody had ever seen nothing like that. But what God is saying, all that I've done, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet. Look, he said, look. Don't allow the past to hold you from what I have in front of you. Oh, I got to park here. See, we need to be amazed about what God has done in the past. Don't get me wrong. We need to be amazed about that. Be excited about that. Amen. But we ought to be even more excited about what he has in front of us. Ooh. Agape. I got to park right here, Agape. Let me just slow down right here. Look. We have to fight with everything we have. We got to fight with everything we have not to get stuck doing the same old things the same old ways. Are y'all hearing me this morning, Agape? I'm speaking to Agape. Now, you can also personalize it, too. Amen. You can personalize it, too. You need to guard against them same old habits, same old stuff that you've been doing, holding you back. But listen, particularly with the church, the church of the living God. You know that old phrase that says you got to keep doing what got you here. Okay. Okay. But at the same time, if God gives you something new, you better lay hold of it. Amen. Oh, y'all here. Oh, we've never done that before. Why can't we go back and do what we used to do? Why are we not singing them songs we used to sing? Why we don't do that no more? We used to do that. Whoa, no. Hold up. Listen. Don't get quiet on me, y'all. Don't do. Here. Can I be real with you all? I want y'all to really hear my heart. I am from, and y'all probably heard this story, some of y'all may not have. I am from the east side of San Antonio, Texas. East side. So I got backup in here, so y'all better chill. But I really want you to hear my heart. I really want you to hear my heart. In a 2-mile radius, area that I live, 2-mile radius, I could count 25 to 30 churches. Within a 2-mile radius, 25 to 30 churches. And what God revealed to me years ago, that whole area became infested with gangs. The whole area was infested with drugs and who knows what else. And a whole community died. Community died. And the Lord put it on my heart and he showed me. He said, if there are 25 churches in that community and that community died, the church missed it. Church missed it. You know how they missed it? I'm going to be honest with y'all. You know how they missed it? The way they missed it, they were not willing to embrace a younger generation and what they had to offer because they didn't want to change. They didn't want to change. And now they have burglar bars on the church. See, you didn't want to let them in. Now you can't keep them out. And I'd be doggone if that will be Agape Christian Church. That graphic up there with all those houses, look at all those houses, y'all, surrounding that property. It's nothing but houses, north, south, east, west, nothing but souls. Yeah. Nothing but souls. And you know what else? Different colored soul. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, different age bracket souls. Yeah. And this is where the Lord is leading us. This is where he's leading us. Yeah, yeah. And we have to be open. Yeah. He says, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. This is brand new. This is something that no one else has seen before. This is what God is calling us to. A new thing. And personally, let's just, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Now, Isaiah is this prophet. See, we can't stop there. We can't stop at salvation. God wants to continually do new things in our lives. It doesn't stop at salvation. I expect God to do something greater. I expect God. Listen, we're almost 3 years old. We'll be 3 in April. We'll be 3, and God has done some amazing things. Have I got a witness? But you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, no, I expect God to do greater things. Every time we have something, I expect God to do bigger and better. Because he has no limits. No limits. And I don't want to put God in a box. You know, I had a pastor friend, Pastor G.F. Watkins. Some of you all know Pastor G.F. Watkins. Pastor G.F. Watkins, he shared something with me, and it just hit home with me, you all, as a pastor.
as a pastor. He says, as pastors, we're God's covering for the church. But if we ever get to the place where we're not open for God doing new things, we become a lid. Do y'all hear that? We ever get to the place where we're not expecting God to do bigger and better things and not open for what God wants to do, you move from being a covering to a lid. And nothing flows out. Nothing flows out. And I get excited when I know that God has placed people in position. God has placed people within the body of this church that God wants to just blossom and God wants to bring creativity and new things out. I get excited about that. And every time we have something, I'm expecting God to take it to another level. He has no limits. He has no limits. But he wants to do a new thing, and there ought to be an eager expectation for him to do bigger and better things. Have I got a witness? Listen, finally, God will do things where only he can be exalted. God will do things where only he can be exalted. Look at verse 19b. It says, now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? He says, it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? God will do things where only he can be exalted. Now these are those miraculous, unexplainable blessings from God. These are those things where God shows up and God does something. You just got to step back and say, look at God. Only God can do that. You know, I told y'all from the very beginning when God planted this church, God was going to do something where only he could get the glory. It's all about him getting the glory. Nobody else. Nobody but God getting the glory. And God wants to do things where only he can get the credit. He says, look, now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I can't explain this. But God gave me a scripture to explain. I want y'all to really pay attention to this scripture. Mark 4, 26, 27. It says, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How? He himself does not know it. He himself does not know it. Here's an illustration of what I'm talking about. It's just like someone takes the seed and they plant that seed in the ground. Now, you know, of course, we know we'll water it, and a lot depends on the soil. But at the end of the day, you still don't know how that thing comes up out of that ground. This is what he just said. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. It's just like someone who plants seed, goes to bed. I mean, he's relaxed. In other words, when God wants to do a new thing, you don't have to stress. 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 If your soil is right, if your heart is right, God will allow things to spring forth. They'll come out of nowhere. And folks will look and say, where'd that come from? How did that happen? And all you got to say is, look at God. Look at God. That's unexplainable. He says, it will spring forth. It says, like a man who goes to bed at night. He's relaxing. Not worried, not stressed over it. And God did a new thing. But look, he goes on to say, I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, this is brand new. Think about it. When God led them out of Egypt, God brought dry land from the Red Sea. This time, he's bringing the sea from dry land. No one has ever seen that before. I need y'all to put my graphic up. Where's my next graphic? I want to put my next graphic up there. Please help me out, guys. Please help me out. Help me out. Come on. I read that. Yeah. There we go. Thank you, Nicole. Can y'all get a glimpse of that? That's water in a dry land. That is water in a dry land.
You can't explain that. But God. When God does things, he does them in such a way where only he can get the credit. He says, I will bring a river in a dry place. In a dry place, in a dry place. God will do things where only he can get the credit. Only he can get the credit. He gave me another passage of scripture in Psalms 84, 5, 7. You can leave that up there. It says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Now listen. Again, he's speaking to children of Israel. They set their mind because they were going back to Zion. They were on a pilgrim's journey back to Jerusalem. And here we are as Christians on our pilgrim's journey to see the king. We're on our way to heaven. He says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. I love this part. It says, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. Do y'all see that? The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Here's the psalmist in this valley of weeping, the valley of what they call the valley of Baca. And this is a dry desert place. And he's on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the promised land. And what this psalmist discovered, that even in a dry place, even in a place that has no water, even in a place where there's desert and there's wilderness, even in this place, he found out that there was a spring of water there. And you got to understand something about what he did. He began to dig in that valley. And as he dug in that valley, water sprang up. And he was refreshed. Not only was he refreshed, everybody else that went through that valley, they were able to drink from that water. I don't know what your dry place is. I don't know what your desert looks like right now, but I dare you to begin digging a well. I dare you to begin praising God. I dare you to begin glorifying God. Even in the midst of your dry valley, even in the midst of your desert, I dare you to praise God. And living water will spring up and it'll refresh you, but then it'll refresh everybody else that comes that way. You know what? You can tell them about your story. You can tell them about how you were in a dry place and there was desert all around you, but you began praising him and you began worshiping him, and he washed you and he refreshed you, and you can tell him about your story. God wants to do a new thing. A new thing, a new thing, a new thing, a new thing. But I'm not done. I've got a couple more I got to share with y'all. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. It says, the beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. He says, the beasts of the field will glorify me. Do y'all hear that? The beast, the jackals. This is the this really is the crocodile. This is a serpent-like creature who loves water. So what he's talking about. And the ostrich, he says, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, they'll glorify me. God has the animals praising him. Do y'all see that? It's right there. Now you gotta understand something about these two animals. Can I break it down for you? See, these two animals mentioned, they were known for their doleful, sad, grievous, miserable, disgusting groans and cries at night. Do y'all hear me? These two animals were known for their miserable, disgusting, groaning, crying at night because they were in a desert. They were in a desert. And so they yearn for water. And because they yearn at night, you can hear them crying. You can hear them crying throughout the desert at night. Can I stop by and tell y'all something? No, the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning time. Listen, you may be going through right now. You may be having a hard time right now, but I dare you to praise him. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time. Oh, I got to take this one last time, and I'm going home on y'all. Look, then he says, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. They shall declare my praise. And y'all heard that old song, ain't no bird gonna sing in my place as long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. This is what the text is saying. Listen, if the crocodile can glorify him, if the ostrich can glorify him, I'd be doggone if a crocodile or an ostrich is going to beat me in my praise. The Bible says these are the people that God has chosen. And the scripture says that the redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord ought to what? The redeemed of the Lord ought to what? Listen, if you have been bought by the shed blood of Jesus, you ought to praise his name. You ought to bless his name. If you know that he hung up on that cross for your sins, set your captive soul free. The redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. But can I tell you one more thing? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because the Bible says in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You may have just bought a brand new house. Your house probably got all the bells and whistles to it. But can I tell you something? You ain't seen nothing yet. Because the house that Jesus has prepared, the Bible says that the streets are paved with gold. The Bible says you ain't got to worry about an electricity bill. Because God's glory lights up the whole place. Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. The songwriter talked about seeing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they gonna tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet.